121. Psalm 121, found in the page 120. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come mine aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. The Psalm 121, and we'll rise to sing the psalm of praise. Seek the Lord together in prayer. Good to see you here. Good to see you here in time. And trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around God's precious word today. Let's seek the Lord to that end. We need His help. We need His power. And so we'll beseech the Lord for that even now. Our eternal and everlasting Father in heaven, we bless Thee that today, that this is Thy day. And it is a day that has been set aside for the worship, for the praise of Thy most glorious name. We thank Thee for the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. And we come before Thine eternal throne, not in our name, or in the name of a denomination, or a church, or a body of believers, but we come in the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come pleading His name. We come pleading His merit. We come pleading His blood before the royal throne of heaven this morning. And we bless Thee for the opportunity whereby we sinful fallen creatures, because of redemption, we can draw nigh to God on the grounds of Christ's atoning work. We thank Thee for an atonement that has been made. We praise Thee that this today, that we are the redeemed of the Lord, that we are at one with God because of our great days man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has interposed on our behalf, the one who has died for us, the one who was buried for us, the one who lived for us, the one who has risen for us and on our behalf. And it's in His name we approach. We come to Your God confessing our sins, our transgressions, our God. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt forgive us. We part, that is, purge our sins, we pray. Put them out of Calvary, we and let us not conceal our sin, but let us confess our sin, and let us know that cleansing doth us from all sins. Day Thy day, a day whereby we can set aside the restraints of working us to be engaged fully in the worship and in the honouring of Thy name on this Thy day. We come before Thee. Our transgressions. Come, O God, we pray, and meet with our souls. Come and meet this atoning work. Come and bless us for Jesus' sake, we pray. We pray for everyone, and we cry to Thee that Thou wilt bless the mothers of the congregation. We pray that they might be mothers in Israel, those that are godly, those that know and love the Lord. We think of that great President of the United States of America who said that no man is poor who has a godly mother, Abraham Lincoln. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us godly mothers, mothers who know how to pray, mothers who walk with God, mothers, O God, who direct their children, help being helped and guided by the head of the home, the husband. And we pray that You'll bless our families, put a good hedge of Calvary's blood around them. Let not the enemy come and destroy and bring havoc, dear God, into the family and into the marriage bond. But we pray that Thou wilt secure every marriage under the blood of Christ. Come, dear God, shelter us. Put a wall of protection around our marriages, we pray. We think of the diabolical scenes that we have seen on our television screens in recent days. The sin that is abounding on every hand. This, oh God, falling and departure away from the Word of God. Oh God, forgive our sin, for our nation, for its sin. We lift it up before Thee. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, remember the remnant, we pray, and give us a little reviving. In the midst of our bondage, take the scourge away, we pray. Give us, Father, a heaven-sent, sky-blue revival of blessing. Come, dear God, this is what we need. Revival is for what we plead. Send the fire of God among us, we ask of Thee. Lord, we realize that only this move of God, an intervention of the Holy Ghost, is what will, Father, reverse the tide of sin and iniquity. How powerless the Church of Jesus Christ is. And so we lift our eyes away from every other confidence that we would have had in days gone past. And we lift our eyes to heaven. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? O God, let us not lift our eyes to man or anyone else, to governments or anything like this, Lord. Let us trust in the Lord, and while some trust in horses and in others in chariots, we will remember the name of the Lord. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, any preacher, any individual. O God, let us put our full confidence in our God and in our Savior. We're looking to Thee. O God, we pray for those who are sick that are associated with this congregation. We need a mighty touch from the Savior. O draw so near, we pray, and grant, O God, them that healing balm. Restore them to their health and strength. Restore them to their families, their loved ones again, and we'll rejoice and glorify Thee for this. Come and meet with us around Thy word. Help our young people. We thank Thee for them. We pray that You'll bless them. Help them at school. Help them as their exams fast approach. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll give each one that knows and loves the Savior good success. Think of the Sabbath school, Sunday school, exam on Saturday coming. We pray for help to be given over this week, that there might be that catechizing and the schooling off the children, even in these things. We pray that these things would take precedence, even over, dear God, the natural education of a child. Thou hast said, train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Oh, give every parent that desire, that interest in the spiritual well-being of their children. Come, dear God, we pray. Meet with us today. Come and encourage our hearts. Cheer us. And let us say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Answer our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. And amen. Charles Wesley's hymn 386. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Found in the page 332, we'll rise to sing 386. John's Gospel, chapter 21, we'll enter the chapter at verse 15. In the reading at verse 15. So when they him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And we'll add our amen to the end of the chapter, and we trust that the Lord will even bless the public reading of his precious word in our hearing today. Let me welcome you in the Saviour's name to our family worship service. Nice to see you here in God's house. I know we're a little tired, we're all that way, but the Lord's given us strength, and sure, we're up for 8 o'clock in the morning for our work day, so 12 o'clock shouldn't be that bad. And so we trust that the Lord will bless us, give us the ability to not only sit and listen and hear the word of God, but also to put then in to practice that which the Lord would say to us today. So let me welcome you all here in the Saviour's name. The announcements for the week that has now commenced, this being the first day of the week, this afternoon at 3:30, the Gospel Open Air Service, it'll be held on Main Street, and our brother, Mr. William Brown, will be bringing God's Word. And so let's pray and let's encourage our brother as he ministers the Word down there in the open air. 6:30 will be the prayer time. We're encouraged by those that come along. Plenty more seats, and so let me encourage you to be found in the place of prayer, 6:30 tonight, and then at 7 p.m. the Gospel meeting. And again, let us encourage the church, the family of God, to do their best to bring out family and loved ones, neighbours and friends and family to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be here to preach God's word as God gives us the ability this evening. Wednesday night will be the prayer meeting, 8 p.m. We continue our study in the disciples' prayer. And we are encouraged by those that are attending, those that are participating, not only audibly but inaudibly in the place of prayer. We're thankful for your support. Let's keep that support up this Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Friday night, 7 p.m, the children's meeting, and our brother, Mr. Wayne Campbell, he'll be here to bring the Bible lesson this week to the children. The following week will be the 11th of April, will be the final children's meeting for this season. Hard to believe, but the 11th of April, that's the following week, will be the final week, and I think we have eatables, and I'm sure our brother, Mr. Miller, has spoken to the individuals about that, but we'll get that sorted out among us, those that help there in the children's meeting. We'll leave that catering for those that come along week by week in that case. 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting, and we're delighted to have our brother, Reverend David Linden. He's going to come here, the minister, the past minister of the congregation, and he's coming over this Friday night to speak to the young people at 8 p.m. Saturday will be the Sunday school examination. It'll start at 11:30 sharp, and it'll go on to 1 p.m. And the children involved are those that are in the classes of our sisters Carol, Mabel and Agnes this week. And I'm sure all the children know who that is. And so Sunday school examination, and we'll be here to help out at 11:30 to 1 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 10:30, will be Sabbath school and Bible class. 12 noon is our family worship service. 7 p.m., the gospel service, and each of those services preceded by a half hour of prayer. The money for FAME is due today, so see our sister Mrs. Kerr concerning that. If you help and you support the work of FAME, well, let's then bring the money in for FAME today. April's issue, we know that we're still in March, but in a few days we will be in April. So April's issue for the missionary prayer letter rope holders, it's available there in the hallway. And this month we're going to focus our attention on our brother, Mr. and Mrs. Lyle Boyd, and they're missionaries in a place in Spain, and I'm not going to even attempt to say where they are. It is written down there, and the Lord will know where they are if you even try to attempt to say that. And the prayer requests are there, 4 different prayer requests. They're quite lengthy. He was quite detailed. We'll not read out this week's, but you take them. Please don't leave any in the hallway. Let every family take one, and let's pray around the family altar Whenever the Lord brings us as families together, we trust that that happens on a daily basis, that you do gather as husband and wife, if you have no children or if you do have children, that there is a time that you do have a family altar. Let's use even this to be a means of what should we pray for? Well, here's something that we can take before the Lord in prayer. There are extra copies of that little slip of paper we had last week, dates for your diary, lets you know all the events that are happening up into the summer, that's happening in the church, so then you know when they're happening. So let me remind you of that. There are some extra copies. We ran out of them last week. And let me remind you of Monday week, not this Monday, but next Monday, the 7th of April, 7 p.m. We need everyone, if you can, to help us to distribute the invites for the two special meetings or Sister Jeannie Graham's testimony. It's on the 13th, Sunday the 13th, and then our Easter rally, and the moderator will be here on the 16th of April to take that. And we're going to do a leaflet drop on that Monday night. So let me encourage you to set that aside. Here's something that we can do. Maybe you think, well, what could I do for the Saviour? Well, posting just one of these through the letterboxes is a means of reaching others with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our visiting does continue around the congregation, and we will eventually get to meet you all in your homes, but it just takes a long time, and there are individuals that are in hospital, those that are bereaved, and they do take a little bit more time and just more visiting. And so I know that there are those, and you're anxious to have us round. Well, don't worry, we'll be there at some stage, and maybe you're not so anxious. Well, we'll be there anyway, and we'll go anyway, and we'll see what sort of welcome. But we have received a very warm welcome in every home, and we'll get to see you eventually. So don't think that I'm sitting up with my feet every night, because I'm usually out some nights through the week in order to visit individuals. Now, some of you have received your Access NI letters, and you're maybe wondering, well, what do I do with them? Well, you keep them, because the congregation will receive an extra certificate. Ourselves will receive that from Reverend David Smith, a presbytery, God willing, possibly on Friday night. We'll receive a bunch of them. So you keep yours, keep it safe. It really is for your own benefit. Keep it safe, and if we ever need them, then you'll know where to put your hand to it. So that means all men, give them to your wife or whoever it is, so they know where they put it, because if you're anything like me, you'll set it down and then you'll not have a clue where you have put it. Easter Convention, that's coming up this month, and it'll fast come upon us. That's down in the Martyrs Memorial, Free Presbyterian Church, Friday night, the 18th of April at 8 p.m. It will be our missionary rally, missionary work across the world. Jonathan Smith, who is now the youth worker of the congregation or of the denomination, he'll be there to speak, and Miss Norrie McAfee, and also a focus on Nepal. There'll be special singing by the youth choir. The preacher that night will be Reverend John Hanna from Spain, and supper will be served after that meeting. And then Easter Monday, the Easter Monday convention meetings, afternoon service, 3:30. Reports on the mainland works, youth outreach at the Commonwealth Games, and special singing by the Calvary Choir from Macrofelt. The preacher will be the moderator, Reverend John Greer. Then the evening service, 7 p.m. It'll launch the new Free Presbyterian Church website, and special singing by the Free Presbyterian Meal Voice Choir. And the preacher will be the deputy moderator, Reverend Thomas Murray. Children's Club available for children during the Monday services. Now, you can bring your own eatables, but there is also the choice of a meal that can be purchased. The meal is roast ham, roast beef, and unbelief. Turkey, served with a selection of salads and farmhouse wheaten bread and crusty bread. Selection of desserts, teas, and coffee, served with shortbread. Well, you couldn't beat that. The price of that is £5. Now, I'm saying that has to be ordered, and there is a sheet in the hallway. If you want to avail yourself of that, you need to write down your name in the next few weeks, that I'm then able to contact our brother, Mr. Murray, in regard to what is being provided. So that's just £5 if you want to eat between this afternoon service and the evening service, or you can bring along your own eatables. The students next week are in Tullyvallen. Let's remember them. Nice to have our brother Stephen with us today. We trust that the Lord will give him rest and refreshment as he's with us even today in God's house. Let me thank you for your prayers. Let me thank those who made their way over to Macrofelt. We did see you. We spotted you in the congregation, and it was nice to have some visitors over from this congregation for that service. And the Lord was good. Good preaching and a good sense of the Lord's presence. And we pray that the Lord will bless our brother Reverend McKee now as he takes up the work there in Macrofelt as a co-pastor in that congregation. Let's keep him before the Lord in prayer. And then thank you for your prayers as we went down to Portadown yesterday. Good to see 32 young people who had given of their own weekend, given of their own money in order to prepare themselves for evangelism, whether that be in their home congregation or whether they'll avail themselves of helping out in the summer outreaches, whether that's down in Larne helping our sister Miss Joyce Walsh, or whether that's going over to the Commonwealth Games. They're preparing themselves, and we had a good time with them yesterday morning. And then we made our way over to see our brother Bob Dwyer. And let's keep our brother before the Lord in prayer. He continues still to be in Antrim Area Hospital. He's going for a dye test tomorrow in the City Hospital in Belfast. And so he would appreciate prayer, not only for himself, but also for his dear wife Sadie at this time, as she's at home by herself while our brother Bob is laid up. And if there's someone else and we have missed and we don't know of them, well, let me know of them, and we'll leave them before the throne of grace in prayer. That's all by way of announcements. Our offering hymn 416, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the land." 416, let's remain seated while the offering is brought in for God's work. We'll turn again to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. David the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, We come now to the preaching of thy word. And we realize that it is beyond the ability of any man to create an anxious or a troublesome thought within the breast of an individual. But we pray that the Spirit of God might superintend this meeting, coming with power, effectually applying thy word to the soul and to the heart. And we're asking today, in the name of thy dear Son, that thou wilt use thy word to the saving of the soul, to the restoring of the backslider, and to the edifying of the saints of God. Answer our petitions. We pray them in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Oft times life's circumstances are such that some of the most spiritual of the Lord's people have days of disappointment, discouragement, and even depression. When such days roll into our lives, they can adversely affect our relationship and walk with God, so much so that we can easily find ourselves in a cold and backslidden state. It is a comfort then to know that one of the offices that our great shepherd executes is that of a restorer. He restoreth my soul, the psalmist said. Having considered over the past few weeks the rest and the refreshment that Christ our shepherd provides for his sheep, we want to meditate upon the restoration that Christ provides for his sheep. The word restoreth in our text for today carries the thought of recovery or renewal. Let me illustrate what I mean by the word. My father at a time would have let out some of his land for sheep to graze on over the winter months, and that was always a joy because we had to go round the fields and make sure that the sheep fence was up and proper and no one was able to get out, or no sheep were able to escape. And I remember well one day looking in to one of the fields in which the sheep were grazing, and I saw a pregnant ewe. And she was lying on her back with all four legs suspended in the air. Now, sheep farmers call that type of sheep, to my knowledge, a cast sheep. What happens is that the sheep gets into a little hollow, and the center of gravity within the sheep, it shifts and causes the sheep to roll on its back, and it cannot get back on its feet again. The reason is that gases start to build up in the four stomachs, I think, that a sheep has, and as a result, it cuts off the circulation of the blood that flows to its legs, and so she tries and she struggles to get back on her feet again. And I remember looking at her and I thought to myself, well, what should I do? Well, what that ewe needed was for someone greater than herself to come and to put her back on her feet again. Well, I happily obliged, threw the leg over the gate without falling over the gate, and went over to her and pushed her over, and soon she was back on her feet and away down the field. I restored her. I restored her to her natural position. I restored her to her proper state on her feet. There are times, as believers, that we need to be restored. Restored to our natural and proper state, spiritually speaking. With that thought in mind and the thought of restoration, I want us to consider number three is our text, He Restoreth My Soul. I want to speak to you on the subject of restoration. The first thing that I see and note from our text, the need. He restoreth my soul. The man who is speaking here, this is none other than David, of whom in Acts. Now the thought for restoration, firstly, we asked us to be restored. Is it our health? Does God promise to restore our health when our health fails? Is that what is spoken of here? Well, there is no promise in Psalm 23 for such a restoration whenever sickness invades the body. Now, God is able to restore health to an individual. We see that in the experience of King Hezekiah in 2 Kings in the chapter 20. There God adds to him 15 years as we see him on the verge of death. But restoration of health is not promised here in Psalm 23 in the verse 3. Is it our wealth? Is it our wealth that God promises to restore whenever hard times come? Well, again, in this psalm, God does not promise a restoration of our wealth. Again, God is able to restore lost wealth, as he did in the case of Job. There we read in Job 42 in the verse 12 that God blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. However, restoration of wealth is not in view here in this psalm. So if it's not our health and it's not our wealth that God promises to restore, what is it? Well, here in Psalm 23 verse 3, the promise is of restoration of soul. He restoreth my soul. God's primary interest is in the restoration of the soul. That part of man unseen by the natural eye and yet as real as the body itself, the soul, the seat of man's affections, his desires and his appetites. It is the inner man that we're speaking about. And God desires that we would have soul prosperity. Just like sickly Gaius, of whom we read in 3 John. And there's only one chapter there in 3 John. And the chapter number 1, the verse number 2, we read, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Soul health. Now let me ask the question. How is your soul today? Do you know what it is to be strengthened with might by his growth in your life? Your appetite for God increasing for the Lord Jesus Christ a thrill to you? Maybe if the answer is no to these questions, what has caused that? Obviously it has to occur. He's craving after it. He's seeking after it. There's something that has caused his... As believers, we can easily lapse boldness and backslidings. But what causes the soul to fall into such as... What are the reasons? What are the causes? What's the source of this coldness invading the soul? Well, let me give you just a few of the causes of this backsliding, this coldness that can come in at times. The first cause, the neglect of the means of grace. The neglect of the means of grace. What we mean by that phrase is just those things that God has given to us that our faith might be strengthened. By the means of grace, we mean the reading and the studying of God's word. The exercise of prayer, the assembling ourselves with the saints of God for worship. We're thinking about the Lord's Supper. We're thinking about the command to be baptized. These are ordinances, means of grace. And by these means, the soul grows in intimacy and forges fellowship with God. Does your Bible reading and study consist in a 5-minute skim of a chapter at the close of the day? Does your prayer life consist of a few drowsy minutes before you jump into bed? Is your presence at God's house more a burden than a delight to your soul? Is your attendance sporadic at the gospel meeting or at the prayer meetings of this church? Can you rise from the pew and willfully disobey Christ's command to wait around his table and remember his death until he come? If you can answer yes to those questions, then you're in need of soul restoration. The second cause why at times we grow cold is because of the encroachment of sin into one's life. The human penman of this psalm, David, knew that his sin with Bathsheba necessitated a work of restoration within his soul. In Psalm 51, in the verse 12, he pleaded with God. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He asked God to restore him this wicked sin of adultery, this encroachment of sin into David's life. He was fully aware that now he was a candidate for soul restoration. Sin harbored in one's life can cause a very swift decline in one's spirituality. Proverbs 28 verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And consequently, sin within a believer's life can lead to a loss of the conscious sense of God's presence. It results in an accusing conscience. It leads to our prayers being hindered and robs us of the joy of our salvation. Is there someone here today? Has sin robbed you of such blessings? Are you dabbling with sin in secret? A secret drinker? A secret gambler? Are you living a double life? Being one thing in public and then something else in private. Beyond the Christian facade, is your life entangled and ensnared by sin? If so, then you're a candidate for soul restoration. Another reason, another cause why at times we need our souls to be restored is because of the influence of ungodly company. Unchristian relationships, whether they be friendships or something more deep, have caused many a bright believer to lose out with God. Such company can lead a professing believer to attend places that a Christian should never be, in doing things that a Christian should never do. Where would he find you? Find you at home with a glass of wine in your hand? Is that in your case? Then you're in need of soul restoration. Oh, may God give us a baptism of Holy Ghost. Ah, but I'm an elder preacher. I come along. Ah, but you could be cold. You could be far from God today. But heart, may God search us. There's another cause for coldness and backsliding to enter in, and it may surprise you. The busyness of Christian service. That can I'm troubled about many things. There's Martha busy serving the Savior, but she was too busy running to meetings, too busy involving herself in every single ministry within the church, too busy that we lose out with God. Now, I'm not asking you, are you involved in God's work? But what I am asking you, are you so involved in God's work that your quiet time is now non-existent? If so, you need soul restoration. You need soul restoration. Having noted the need for restoration, I want you to notice secondly from the verse number 3, the source of restoration. Do you remember what we said? The very commencement of our study, what do we have to do as we traverse this psalm? What do we have to do? We have to keep our eye on the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Who restores the soul? Well, it's certainly not in a person's own ability to restore their own soul, or the verse would have said, I restore my soul. And it's definitely not in the power of others to restore the soul. It's not in a family member, a friend. It's not even in this preacher. I cannot restore your soul. For the verse would have said, they restore my soul. But instead, the verse says, he restoreth my soul. Who is he? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. The restoration of the soul requires one who is omnipotent, one who is all-powerful, in order to bring back the soul. That's what the word literally is translated from the Hebrew, to bring back. And so we could literally read the verse, he brings back my soul. Brings it back from what? Brings it back from spiritual suicide. But that's what backsliding is. He brings us back from the evil of backsliding. He brings us back because we have wandered, not him. He brings us back to himself as a work of God. From beginning to end, it is a work of the backslider, the Almighty. And so it is the great and the task of restoring the wayward soul. J. Thornton, he said, the same hand about the person who embarks upon the task of restoring soul. What can we do? You know, this might surprise some men, crashes down on the ground, because at times, with all of our human limitations, we put in beings the frailty of the flesh, incompetent to perform certain tasks, not the one of him, because the Word of God says, he hath done all things well. We cannot place the charge of incompetence to the charge, and to there has never been a case brought to our great shepherd which he has been unable. And you really don't buy into sin. Let me say to you, not a case that's brought to the shepherd is ever turned away. He's competent as he restores my soul. There's something to cheer the heart of the backslider, that Christ has the ability. Christ, our great shepherd, has the competence. He has the skill to restore the soul, no matter how far into sin that individual has fallen. And note well that all that Christ puts his hand to is ever marked by success. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He's competent to restore my soul. Secondly, he's caring as he restores my soul. I thought about that passage that we read in John chapter 21 and how caring the Savior was to that man, his own disciple, Peter. Now, very easily, the Savior could have rehearsed all of Peter's words that he had said to those soldiers around the fire that night. The Savior could have brought up all his past sins in front of all of those disciples and said, "Now, man, I want you to learn from this man, Peter. I want to tell you what he said and what he did the night that I was betrayed." And he could have belittled him. Not the Savior. No, the Savior just asked three times, "Lovest thou me?" And that was enough to break Peter. Thank God, whenever we fail and fall, Christ, the caring restorer, he comes, and in love he restores us back to fellowship with himself again. I think of those caring words, we've read them a few times in Ezekiel 34 verse 16, speaking of God, our great shepherd. He says, "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and I will strengthen that which was sick." He's competent to restore my soul. He's caring as he restores my soul. Thirdly, he's comprehensive when he restores my soul. God always does a thorough work when he restores the soul. No part is left untouched. He doesn't half restore a man into fellowship with God. He doesn't bring him, as it were, 90% and hold the other 10% over him and say, "This is what you could have had." Not our Savior. Not our Lord. No, he restores the man completely. He brings him into fellowship. We think of that in the life of Peter again. Denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Yet the Savior restores him, and what does he do? He uses him again. He uses him again there at the day of Pentecost. He uses him again to write two letters to the churches there in 1st and 2nd Peter. He continually uses the man, you see, because whenever God restores the soul, he makes good the promise of the book of Joel. Whenever he said, "I will restore unto you the years," not the days, not the weeks, not the months, but the years that the locust have eaten and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you, I will restore unto you the years that the locust have eaten. And maybe you're here today and you think God could never use me again. Well, that's a lie. It's a lie. God used Peter again. God can use you. Whenever God restores a soul, it is a comprehensive and it is a complete work. This is what our God does. There's one final thing I want us to quickly notice from this text today. The need to be restored, the source of our restoration. I want us to notice the means of restoration. In this psalm, the psalmist David was personally aware that he needed to be restored. He knew that he needed to be restored. The sad thing today is that among the professing church that there are many backslidden believers, and they're not even aware that they need to be restored. They're not even aware. And because of the lack of spiritual discernment, God has to employ certain means to bring people to a place where they, for the first time maybe in years, begin to consider where they are spiritually with God. And then they come to the realization that I'm not walking with God. God has to bring these things into our lives. What means does God employ to bring us back to the place of restoration? Well, I think he employs his chastenings. His chastenings. The psalmist said that. We have quoted it before from this pulpit. Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. It's affliction that kept the psalmist from his wanderings. Matthew Henry, the commentator, he said, God often makes use of afflictions as a means to reduce those to himself who have wandered from him. You see, God brings the man down. He brings the backslider down. He brings him into a place of affliction, into a time of turmoil, whether it's in the home, in the business. God brings affliction in order to reduce that man from his pride. I see it in the life of Naomi. She would testify to Orpha and to Ruth. She said, the hand of the Almighty has gone out against me. God was chastening her, bringing her back to Bethlehem. I think of it in the life of the prodigal son. What affliction he suffered in the far country. It was God's chastening hand and the providential circumstances of life that drove this wanderer back home again. And then I ask myself this question. What will God bring in to your life in order to bring you back? In order to bring you back into fellowship with the Savior? His chastenings, the second means by which he draws us back is by his withdrawals. There are times in our lives because of sin that God withdraws his conscious presence from us. Isaiah speaks of that. In Isaiah 54 verse 7 he said, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. In Hosea, it speaks there in Hosea 5 verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early, the hiding of God's face. I have a message that I'll preach sometime here. When God hides himself. And there are times whenever God does hide his face. And the withdrawings of God's presence and his favor upon an individual's life or upon a church's life. Those times are marked by a diminishing of power in prayer and witnessing, the absence of salvation's joy. Those times are times whenever and causes the believer such concern that they rally to God and they ask God why. Why? God shows sin. They repent of sin. Those blessings are restored again. God sometimes has to withdraw his conscious presence from us in order to drive us back. But there's another means, and these are only but a few. I believe a means that God uses is his faithful servants. In Hebrews 13 and the verse 17, it tells us that God gifts his church with men for the purpose of watching for people's souls. It's the spiritual oversight of the congregation. It is the teaching and those in leadership, the teaching elder and the other elders of the congregation. God has entrusted us with the spiritual watch of your soul. Often a message from the preacher, maybe a word from a brother, maybe a rebuke from an elder can be the means of bringing the wandering soul back to Christ. In Galatians 6 and the verse number 1 we read, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And maybe today in God's providence, God has been using this word. God has been speaking to you and showing you that things are not as they should be. God's using the word to draw you back today. I'm sure that there are people in this congregation and you need restoration of soul. I'm sure of that. The difficulty is that your pride and your respectability and your position within this congregation will not allow you to admit that. To others, all may seem to be well, but you know that you've spiritually drifted and that the flame of first love is at a very low ebb. Well, today God is here in the person of his Spirit. He can restore you this very moment. Don't wait for another opportunity. Don't allow any other days to elapse before you apply to your God to be restored, to experience his restoring grace. But just as you are, and just where you are, dare to trust him. Dare to trust him that he will restore you this very moment. And then you'll experience what David experienced in Psalm 23 whenever he testified, "He restoreth my soul." May God do a restoring work in this meeting. And may we be honest before him. And may we all walk with God. And may we all live in his blessing. May God bless these words and thoughts to our hearts even today, for Christ's sake. Let's unite in prayer. Again, if we can assist you, we know it's the Sunday morning, the family worship service. We know that well. But God does not just have to work in the gospel evening service. He can work in the morning meeting. And maybe you need to be restored today. Well, may God help you by his grace to come and make yourself known to us. And we'll help you by the help and strength of God. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee. Lord, we must confess that our souls need to be restored. We drift. We do get cruel, Lord. The world and all of its attractions captivate the heart at times, and we start to drift. We crave, O God, that thou wilt come and restore us. Restore us into thine image, we pray. And help us to walk with God. Give grace for those in this meeting that have drifted. Give grace for them to come. Get right with God. And then let them walk, all the days of their lives with Thee. Lord, Thou art able, come, do Thy own work in us. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for Christ's glory. Amen and amen.